Father, I thank you, Lord, today as we are gathered together for fellowship. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We also declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. And let that light shine steadfastly in our hearts this morning. And even straight ahead on our paths. In the name of Jesus, we give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to be the first, to give testimony, because the Bible actually does say that the, the divine, dresser or the husbandman shall be first partakers of the blessing. So, the Lord is doing wonderful things. I want to tell you that he's the God of, rapid response. Praise the Lord. And, I am here to testify already before the Lord. See, a couple days ago, we were instructed to take your pen and write, the open chapters, fill them in. I don't think I had many things to write, but some things, but I guarantee you, happening already. God is so good. Hallelujah. He's a God of rapid response. My goodness. The Lord said, while you are yet speaking, I will hear you. While the word is still in your mouth, I will answer. And, but I want to read, just a quick, scripture reading unto us this morning. We'll just take it as our scripture reading. And the story here in the Bible that I want to read from Luke chapter 17. And it came to pass, this is from verse 11, as he went to Jerusalem, Jesus is the one they're talking about, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Well, they stood afar off, their culture and their law was lepers were not allowed inside the city. They had to be outside the gates lest they bring contamination. And, this thing could be contagious or infectious, to others. So they were outside. And if they believed that they were cured, they have to go show themselves to the priest first. And the priest would have to certify that they were okay to re-enter into the society. Now, these 10 lepers stood afar off. And when they saw Jesus, of course, they knew him, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They knew his name and they knew who he was. His name was Jesus. And he was the master. And they have heard of him, of his fame, and various things that he had done. And this was an opportunity for them. He was right in their neighborhood. And when he saw them, he said unto them, now go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, let's break down this story a little bit. I mean, there is a punchline to this story, but there are other hidden things inside of this story. Now, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, they could not. I mean, you only to go show yourself unto the priest when you have been cured of your leprosy, and then, you know, this priest would examine them, certify that they can return into the community or the society. But Jesus, even while the leprosy was still on them, said to them, go show yourself unto the priest. Now, they could be thinking in their head, we can't go and show ourselves to the priest unless we are healed. But it took him at his word anyway. Now, when the Lord tells us something, as a part of this that comes out of this story, gives you an instruction, such as write down what you want to see in those blank pages. Well, you know, you write it down. You begin to enact it. These people started to enact their healing, because going to the priest is a form of enacting their healing. You only go to the priest when you're healed. Well, how would you go to the priest when you're not healed? But as they went, see, that's very critical, you know, for us to take action of faith toward the target. Whatever it is that we're believing God for, take some steps of faith in that direction. Well, these guys started to go and show themselves to the priests, just like Jesus said. And as they went, it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, we don't know how many steps they took, how many furlongs they had covered, yards or miles. We don't know. We don't even know how far away they were from the priests. But as they went, we are told that they were cleansed. And then something started to happen. They started to feel something on their skin, looking at it. I mean, the skin started to come back. You know, I mean, leprosy is a horrible thing, you know. Skin can turn pale, white, all kinds of things, cover the body. But all of a sudden, they started to see a new skin coming in there, and they were cleansed, and they shouted for joy. I mean, this was, I mean, my goodness. I mean, now their stories changed. They can actually show themselves to the priest, like Jesus said, and the priest will be able to certify that they're actually cleansed, and they will be able to return into the society instead of being outcasts. And so they were so jubilant, rejoicing for joy, and so forth. And then one of them, we're told, when he saw that he was healed, you know, the other nine, they were rejoicing and shouting and going to the priest and all, and perhaps, you know, everything. You know, they were just so elated that they were healed. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, you know, forgot about going to show himself to the priest. First, I got to go back and give glory to God. So he went back to go look for Jesus. And he fell down on his face at his feet when he saw him, giving him thanks. And it turned out that he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering and said, well, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Jesus said, well, 10 people cleansed. How come only one returned? Where are the remaining 9? And this one that returned was a stranger. And then he turned around and said to the man, you know, arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now that was an additional blessing that this man got, which I don't know that the other nine got. You know, this man is now made whole. They were all cleansed, but he's made whole. Now, God, that goes beyond just being cleansed. It's made whole. Everything. You know, from the top of his head, soles of his feet, it's now made whole. But Jesus pronounced it. And you can see how it is important to come back and give glory to God. And how giving to glory to God might even, result in some additional blessings from the Lord. Praise God. And in my culture, we have a proverb in my language that pretty much translates to, he that is grateful for yesterday's benevolence that they received, will receive more today, or thereabouts, something like that. So what it says. When we are grateful, show our gratitude to what the Lord has already done for us. Well, it's a trigger for receiving even more. Praise the Lord. There are two things to call to mind with testimonies. We've often spoken about, testifying ahead of the actual results, to use that as, part of your weapons in getting your victory, according to Revelation 12 and 11. But, this was a for real, the situation in which somebody actually returned when they saw that, my goodness, what the Lord said has indeed come to pass. Which reminds me of certain situations in our lives. There was a woman that was grieved in the spirit a lot. She was really grieved. She happened to be married, to, one Elkanah. And it so happened that this Elkanah had another wife, and she was one of his two wives. And she was grieved because the other wife, who was able to bear children, made fun of her. And year after year, she was grieved. But she went to the house of the Lord. You know the story in 1 Samuel chapter 1 of Hannah. But there was something I wanted to point out. And Hannah prayed and prayed and prayed. And she said, she vowed a vow. She wept sore. Hannah rose. She went in the bitterness of her soul and prayed unto the Lord. Verse 10 of 1 Samuel 1. And wept sore, and she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt thou give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Now that was a vow that she made. It reminds me of situations in life when sometimes people do these things, and say, Lord, if you do this, I will do that. And when the Lord does that thing, sometimes people forget to keep their vow. And that's a terrible, terrible thing. Now, this woman actually did keep her vow. When the Lord eventually gave her that son, whose name was turned out to be Samuel, well, she went and dedicated him to the Lord, gave him to the Lord's service. He was there to serve with the priests, served in the days of Eli. Little boy Samuel did, because his mother gave him up, like she promised. Now, if we have promised to give praise to the Lord, let's make sure we don't forget. And even if you didn't promise, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. The scriptures, the Psalms are full of that. Psalm 92. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. To show forth his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. I mean, it's a good thing. Always to give thanks unto the Lord. It's always a good thing. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Here's what it says. Verse 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Well, what's the sacrifice of fools? Well, let's find out. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou art upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words before the Lord be few. A dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of their words. Here's what a fool does. The one that vows but doesn't pay. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. So that means a fool is the one that vows but doesn't pay. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Now, better is it that thou shouldest not vow at all than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel. Oh, the angel is watching. Oh, it was an error. I made a mistake. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice? Destroy the work of thy hands. And these things happen to fools because they vow to give the Lord the praise, but they don't. And for in the multitude of dreams, he said, cometh many words and all that. But you are talking more. Let's just focus on the part of the, you know, vowing to say, well, praise the Lord. And they're not doing it. You know, the psalmist, he was one that loved to do it. You know, he often said things like, you know, I will declare thy greatness, you know, in the midst of the congregation. He often wanted to do that. And always ready to give praise to the Lord for the things that the Lord has done. I mean, throughout, you know, the Psalms, you will see things about, you know, him praising the Lord in the assembly and in the congregation. Psalm 22 and verse 22 says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Hallelujah. And I will proclaim thy name, you know, before the great assembly. You know, he often said that. You know, Psalm 40 and verse 9, same thing. I proclaim, you know, thy righteousness in the great assembly, and I will not hold my lips. In fact, let's read, you know, that Psalm 40, but it's a beautiful psalm around testimonies. Let me read some portion of it here. It says, many, I'll read from verse 5. You know, many, in fact, let me just read it from verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. So this is somebody who's pouring out his heart before the Lord. And look, let's see what God did for him. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. It was like this guy was in quicksand. It was sinking. The more he struggled, the more he sank. You know, but the Lord somehow pulled him out of it and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings and put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God now. So he's ready to praise the Lord after the Lord does these things for him. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, blessed is the man, is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respected not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And let's listen to his testimony about the things that God has done for him. Besides pulling him out of this miry clay, there are a lot of other things. He said, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word, they cannot be reckoned up in number unto you. And if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. He's talking about all the things that the Lord has done for him. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. My ears thou hast opened, and, you know, burnt offering, sin offering thou hast not required. But, you know, I said, it's written in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will, O God. You know, thy law is within my heart. I have preached, hallelujah, righteousness, great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. So this man, he loved to declare the things that God had done for him. I have not concealed thy loving kindness. Well, some people conceal that, hold it on to themselves. You know, I have declared thy truth in the great congregation. Hallelujah. You know, you're always ready to declare it, he said. Always ready. Are you always ready to give praise, you know, to the Lord for what he does? Praise the Lord. You know, we are ready in the midst of the congregation, ready to praise the Lord. The song we played at the beginning, he said, look, the man you saved, the man you healed, the man you blessed, you know, come to praise the Lord. Well, have you come to praise the Lord? You know, knowing that the Lord desires us to praise him for his good acts and to be thankful. Scripture says, be ye thankful. Well, then we shouldn't have to, you know, hammer it into anyone's heads to give thanks and to praise the Lord. But yet we find out that people are not as excited, and do not with the same passion that they pray, give praise to God. Sometimes when we pray, we're so passionate. We cry unto the Lord. We do all kinds of things. But do we with the same zeal and same passion give glory to God? The testimonies of his goodness? You know, here's what the psalmist said in Psalm 145. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Will you? Well, shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. You know, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. It shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power. Well, let's talk about his power. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts. You do it in the congregation of the saints. You do it outside of the congregation of the saints. Wherever you are, you know, you talk of the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom, O Lord, is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. You know, the Lord upholded all that fall and raised up all those that be bowed. These are testimonies. These are testimonies that he has experienced. Like many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them all. This poor man cried unto the Lord. The Lord heard him. You know, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me and answered me out of his holy temple. I mean, this on and on and on. He was always saying stuff like that. You know, the eyes of all wait upon thee, O Lord, and thou givest them their meat in due season. This is something he has experienced. Thou openest thy hand, satisfy the desire of every living thing. Well, have you experienced this? you know, the goodness of the Lord and the good hand of measure of his goodness upon you. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works, and so on and so forth. You know, it's nigh unto all them that call upon him, and those that call upon him in truth, he will fulfill their desire, even the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry. He will save them. The Lord will preserve them that love him, and so on and so forth. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and forever. I mean, are we ready to praise the Lord? You know, not only in the congregation, but also in the congregation. You know, for all the things that God has done. And from day to day, the Lord is good. Praise ye the Lord, the psalmist would say. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. And I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. He always said things like that. Throughout the scriptures, praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is comely. You know, and those are the ways that he gave testimony to the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, he said. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens. And ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. He commanded and they were created. He has also established them forever. You know, and he tell everything to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word. Even everything that happens, even in nature, you know, praise the Lord, he said. You know, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. I mean, this man, this is the reason why God chose his throne to sit around. Because the same way he's commanding everybody here, that's how everybody will be praising the Lord when they're around the throne of David. He will make sure, he will see to it. Huh. Praise the Lord, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. He also exalted the horn of his people. The praise of all his saints. Ah, people near him, when you praise the Lord. And he ends with saying, praise ye the Lord. That was Psalm 148. You know. What about Psalm 149? Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of saints. You know, so let the people of the Lord rejoice in him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. This man, he knew how to get down in dancing and praising the Lord. One time when the ark was returning, you know, he took off his kingly garments and began to jump, maybe doing cartwheels or whatever, and just praising the Lord, was so excited to the point that Michal, the daughter of Saul, who was his wife at the time, looked out the window and saw him, quote unquote, disgracing himself. That's what she thought. And when he came in the house, she said, how glorious, she said to him, how glorious was the king of Israel today? I mean, debasing yourself like that, you know, in the streets, jumping like a crazy person, and so on. What was that? That was disgraceful, she said. You know, her tongue was sharp, you know, like that. She did not even respect the man. And David said, well, it was before the Lord. Anything I do before the Lord was before the Lord. You're the one that thinking it's disgraceful. And even all those women that you thought I was disgracing myself before, they will have me in honor. And I will be even more base than this. If you thought that was disgraceful, you haven't seen anything yet. Because I am doing it for the Lord who chose me instead of your father's house. So he gave it to her, you know. But the Lord was angry about that, you know, with that woman for what she said. Don't you ever mock someone that's praising the Lord. The Lord might be angry. God, praise the Lord. Praising the Lord is something that we must do. And when people are doing it, let them alone. You know, she was barren for that. Praise the Lord. The psalmist also said, you know, in his life, every day, he knew and invited the Lord to come get the praise. And when you invite the Lord to come get the praise like that, he's coming. Glory to God, because he inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 65, you know, said, praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. Oh, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Well, that thing which you vowed, well, bring it in your praise. You say, well, the Lord did this, does this for me, I'll do that. I'll praise the Lord, I'll do it. You know, let him hear your praise. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. That's right. Now come back, O praise the Lord. So, I've come to praise the Lord. I want to say this testimony again. I won't go too much into details, but God has already started working on some things that I wrote down. I saw evidence. I heard evidence of it yesterday. And the Lord is good. So I testify that the Lord is good. And then we're in this season of rapid response. Rapid response? Well, absolutely. Because here is how the Lord ensured, and guaranteed us, you know, that there will be rapid response from this time forth, because he had declared it. He said this through Ezekiel. He said, well, you know, in those days, there was a time that the people were always saying, well, you know, the word of the Lord is prolonged. It's not happening. We're believing God, yet we are not saved. The summer is past, and yet we are not saved. People used to say things like that. The harvest is gone. The summer is past, you know, and yet we are not saved. And people used to think that, you know, and, we thought that the Lord would come and rescue us, but, you know, and but here we are. Summer's gone. Harvest is gone, you know, but yet we are not saved. And every word that the Lord has promised seems like it's far off. Well, Jeremiah said that. Ezekiel's days, they said things like that too. But the Lord told Ezekiel something. Let's read Jeremiah 8:20 first. You know, in the book of Jeremiah 8:20, people said, well, the harvest is past. The summer is ended. And yet we are not saved. You know, the people, this is what they thought. You know, they were discouraged. But they've been waiting for a while. And they said, well, you know, it doesn't look like God's going to do anything. We're just believing for nothing. You know, this is what they thought, and this is what they said. And when we act like that before the Lord, it actually shows we don't have any faith. And the Lord doesn't have any pleasure in those things. You know, so, you know, let's be careful. You know, but in the time of Ezekiel, the people were also saying similar things. In Ezekiel chapter 12, you know, people had this proverb that they were always using. They would say things like, look, you know, everything that God has promised, we don't see it. You know, it looks like it's for a long time, they said. You know, so let's read it from verse 21 of Ezekiel 12. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, wherein people say the days are prolonged and the every vision faileth? Now, this is what the people are saying, because they think the Lord is not doing anything. I say, well, you know, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will make this proverb to cease. You know, this proverb of saying that, you know, the days are far off, the vision faileth, all the promises of God, you know, the summer is past, the harvest is ended, and yet we haven't encountered any of these things. Well, the Lord said, I'm going to make that to cease. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision or flattering divination, you know, and so forth. Get rid of it, house of Israel. I am the Lord. I love it when the Lord says that. You know, I am the Lord. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, you know, all rebellious, I call them rebellious because they didn't believe the Lord. Will I say the word, and I will also perform it, saith the Lord. And again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, you know, behold this house of Israel, they say the vision that he sees is for many days. He prophesies of things and times that are far off. I mean, all these things that he comes out and tells us every day that the Lord will cause us to emerge, we will experience a quantum leap. You know, this will be the year of our epic story, and God is bringing prophetic repairs and all these things happening in our life. We don't see it. Well, that's what the Lord said. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. But we're entering into the season of rapid response. Glory to God. The word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. Quickly too, for the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. And the Lord knows how to do things. You know, sometimes things that are delayed for a long, long time, you know, when God plays, you know, quote unquote, catch up for you, well, you might find out that, you know, you will be like those that dream. Say, when the Lord turned our captivity, we were like those that dreamt. You know, God is never late, but sometimes it looks like he is. You know, and there's a story that Jesus told in Matthew 20 of some people, you know, that had nothing going for them for a long time. Everybody else was doing well, but they had nothing going. They were idle, you know. And at the end of the day, someone came and asked them, why stand ye here idle all day? I said, well, because nobody has hired us. And we've been believing God, but nothing going. You know, they don't have any opportunity, you know, to get ahead. Some people were hired at 9 a.m. Some people at 10, some 11, some 12, some so forth. But these ones, all day long, they stood there at 5 p.m., 1 hour, to the end of the day. They ended at 6 p.m. They were still idle. And so, why stand ye here idle all day long? Because no man has hired us. While you go into the vineyard and whatever, you know, I'll give you. And so they went. But they were the 11th hour workers. It's almost as if, well, they only had 1 hour left in the day. And a lot of people were already ahead of them. You know, and, you know, just there, licking their wounds at the end of the day. But the Lord, when he showed up, he said, send them into his vineyard. And then when it came time to pay everybody, you know, he started from the last. The ones that came in at the 11th hour and had 1 hour only. And he gave them a penny, just like he had contracted with those that had been there all day long. And so he walked his way backwards and started paying everybody the same. So when he got to the first group that were there from the beginning of the day, they thought they should have received more. And when they received every one of them a penny, just like the others, they grumbled. I would say they murmured against the good man of the house. And then he called them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a penny? a day, and have I not given you that penny? You walked the day, you agreed with me, and I've given you the penny. You know, I can give to this last the same as I gave to you. Is your eye evil because I am good? Have I not power to do that which I will with my own? Take that dinies and go that way. I will give to this other the same as you. You know, he can make someone that started late to be the same as those who have been there all the time. He's the master, the God of the 11th hour. There's nothing, you know, when you think, oh, the words of the Lord faileth and so forth. Don't think that in your heart. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, he can change everything. Praise God. You can be there all day long, catch nothing. And suddenly he can come there and say, hey, Peter, how you doing? So, well, you know, Lord, I don't know. You know, today, nothing happening. We've been here all night. This was skilled fishermen. They knew their trade. Masters of the trade. And they knew exactly how, where to catch and how to fish and all of that. But this time around, they caught nothing. And they were discouraged. They washed their nets, packed in everything, and they were giving up. Well, tomorrow is another day or some other time. This is not working. Jesus came upon the scene. He said, well, do it again. Do it again. Well, you know, we've been there, done that, been there, done that, but didn't work. But as soon as he was saying that, he recognized that, wow, this is really the master speaking. And if the master says it, doesn't matter what happened before or didn't happen before. Nevertheless, he said, and those are those, one of those nevertheless moments. I love those nevertheless moments through the scriptures. Wow. We've done it all night long. We didn't catch anything, but nevertheless, at your word, glory to God. That's how you separate between the spirit and the soul. And when the Lord said, do it again, and I'll show you this time strategy of how to do it. And they caught something that, you know, I mean, they could not have caught, even if they were catching all night, they would not have caught what they caught in that moment. Because when the Lord gives the word, great is the company that publishes it. The fish, everybody, all the fish in the sea, they heard what Jesus said. And they are starting to swim towards that place that Jesus pointed. Cast your net over on that side. All the fish in the lake or wherever, they heard it and moving towards that now. Because the master spoke. And they respond to that voice. Hallelujah. And my goodness, their net almost broke because there was so much of a catch. I mean, you know, Peter looked like, immediately Peter is thinking, I'm a sinful man. You know, I don't understand these things. Don't worry, the Lord said, you know, catch even more than fish. Catch man. Praise the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you may think things are being delayed, but they're not. But when he starts, it'll come in like a flood, said the Lord. I remember the Lord saying that. And then, you know, we make a vow, remember to give praise. And even if you did not make a vow, remember to come and praise the Lord like the one that returned out of the tent. So that's our short exhortation for you today. And I have come to return. And there are some other things that I've declared. Praise the Lord, you know, and I've written down. I'm going to see them coming. You know, Psalm 115 tells me something. And, you know, I think I gave this, I might have given this testimony one time before. I want to say it again, too. You know, for those of you who think that, you know, well, maybe your generation is past and it, you know, it's, you just pass the blessing on to your children. That's good. But, you know, it's both of you that the Lord wants to bless. You and your children. That's what he said. Psalm 115, verses 14 and 15. The Lord shall increase you more and more. You and your children. You know, there was a time I was thinking, well, come on. You know, I'm set in my life. You know, I mean, yeah, the blessing I need now is for my children to be blessed. I always be told me you're wrong. Praise the Lord, you know. And there's a lot of blessing. I'm not talking financially only, but financially too. But I'm talking about everything in every area. Lord wants to increase you and your children. Praise the Lord. The blessing is for you and to your children and to many that are far of us. Many as the Lord our God shall call. Receive the blessing of the Lord. And let's give the Lord some praise for what he's doing. You know, one time, you know, a year or so ago, we said, well, the song of joy, like see what the Lord has done, should be your song. And my goodness, let me repeat that it will be your song. See what the Lord has done. Father, I thank you, Lord, for all of your children because of what you are doing in our lives. And we come to give you praise. You know, and I want to pray over that seed. That spoken word is the original seed. We spoke the word, Lord, and the people responded. They took the pen, they wrote in those blank pages. Now, I speak over those pages. Let them come alive. The things that were written, let them come to life in the name of Jesus. And let there be a heart of thanksgiving in the heart of the people. This is, you know, sing to the Lord, give the Lord thanks. You know, the grateful heart. So Lord, we give you thanks with a grateful heart for all that you have done. Let's be quick to praise the Lord. Let the people praise him. Let all the people praise him. We give you, Lord, the praise. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing. It's only the beginning, but we can see traces of it already. And we give you glory and honor. And Joshua said, there has not failed any one of all of his good promises which the Lord promised by the mouth of the servant Moses. All came to pass. Glory to God. And it shall come to pass too, even as you believe. And remember to come and testify and give glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.